is called Tango.
Okay. I like background music.
Yeah, okay, I can keep this going.
So anyway, now, unbeknownst to Dave.
Arriba, arriba.
This is news to Dave because I kind of told you and then you told me to stop.
To save it for now, yes.
So I will tell my story in 13 minutes or less.
Yay!
Well, I went home. I happen to have oral surgery on Tuesday.
I'm not going to play yay for that. Let's see. What goes with oral surgery? Probably back to this.
No. I have a good oral surgeon.
Oh, okay.
Well, so play like three.
Wait. You have a good oral surgeon?
Yes. What the heck is that?
Can you guess what this is? Dogs growling. It's no. Like raccoons burrowing, I think.
I don't know what that is.
Where did you get this?
I don't know.
No, I mean, it would be good if all of these were separate tracks, if there were like 100 tracks on this.
Well, you have to, it's now you can tape retarded. It and make a whole, I know. It doesn't make sense, does it?
No, not really. Oh, well. At least I have this one.
Yay!
You know what? Just randomly play sound effects. I'll wind them into the story.
Okay.
So I took the train home.
After
I had oral surgery. So I went to the beach. Is that where I went?
No, that's the airplane you took to the beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that was an airplane?
Yeah, that was an airplane.
Boy, these aren't really good sound effects,
no,
are they?
They're. Here's your beach.
Okay. So, I got to the computer.
Uh-huh.
Where
tappity, tappity, tappity.
Where I heard a gull. And
you've got gulls.
Are we still? Yes. So, yeah. So, and it was very nice. So I went to the computer. And for some reason, after oral surgery, I felt like Googling myself on the price of the
Right. Remember, let's keep the show clean.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went over to the Price is Right website.
Yeah.
And I saw, wow, they're having another test show on Thursday. Now it's Tuesday.
This is this week. Yeah.
This is the past week.
Right.
So I said, okay, you know, I can pick up a plane on Wednesday, get there, and go on Thursday to the show, and then come back.
Okay.
So I got myself a plane ticket, and thinking I had a day in between. I got
my plane had seagulls in its engine.
Well, it was a JFK, which was close to the seagulls.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I got myself a plane ticket, and a hotel, and a rental car. And the best price on the rental car, I got a beautiful new Pontiac SUV.
Ooh.
I think it was a Pontiac. Was it a Vibe as the SUV, something like that?
It was
lovely. It was really nice.
Vroom, vroom, so, vroom, vroom. That was engine noise. That was track 9.
And I stayed at my favorite porn motel, too.
Yay!
The one where they make porn in the room.
Yeah, this is interesting.
I told you about this.
Yeah.
Because they're always, like, really way too attractive people staying. They're like the guys are like doing pull-ups in the parking lot off the, you know, the pipes that are underneath the building. It's really weird.
And do the girls have pneumatic boobies? And
the girls are stunning themselves by the pool you would never stick your big toe in.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's like they're just way too attractive to be at a Super 8 motel that this is.
Have you seen the Lindenhurst Motel?
No.
I think I know what you're talking about.
So anyway, and they're definitely making porn in that motel.
Okay.
So anyway, I must tell you, so I booked everything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I looked at my reservation. I said, holy crow, my plane.
Wait, I may have a crow. Is this a crow?
No.
No, it's a seagull. All right,
Just keep fast-forwarding it and see what you get.
Okay.
But anyway, so you. I shaved.
That's the porn movie.
What is it? A shave?
Yeah, I think it's an electric razor. I don't have the, okay. Okay.
So, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stop it now, David. I'm telling a story.
Okay.
So, I actually looked at my plane ticket. By this time, the clock on my computer has gone past midnight. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me.
Yes.
That I'm taking the plane today. I don't have a day in between. I had to, and I looked up the Long Island Railroad because I wanted to take the train to Jamaica, then take the shuttle to JFK.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, my God, I have to catch a 4 a.m. train. Like, I had, like, literally 3 hours to pack and get a cab and go to the, I didn't have any time. So I just packed my bags, and got to the plane station, the airport. I packed my razor too. Thank you very much. So then I flew to California, and of course, since it was USA, they bumped me up to first class, which is always nice. Oh, we went over the water.
Darn, I thought it was a plane for a moment. Almost.
Oh, that was a plane?
No, I think that was kind of like a car passing. But
oh, yeah, that's true. We passed a lot of cars.
Keep going. Okay. You got to about a little more.
We didn't go by railroad.
We didn't go by railroad. Okay, enough with that. All right.
So then I got on the plane. We got to California via Phoenix and Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and I flew into the lovely Bob Hope Airport in Burbank.
Bob Hope Airport. Wow. Was his picture everywhere?
No, just the thing. And no one was skiing off his
No one was skiing off yet, yeah.
But it was very
interesting. Did you thank them for the memories once you landed? And
thanked them for the memories, yes.
Yeah, not the memories.
Oh, the memories.
And that was at the porn market.
Actually, it's a really nice airport. It's kind of reminiscent of Islip.
Okay.
You know, the
so smaller and
it's a very small airport.
It's a
only
boutique
has,
airport.
It's a boutique airport. Oh, very nice. A boutique. I like that.
Thank you.
And they have two baggage things. You know, the baggage carousels both have sides. It's like nothing is indoors in the airport. It's really
well, it's Burbank. Yeah.
But it has a, you know, if it rains, there's a cover on it.
Okay.
It was in beautiful downtown Burbank. And I got my rental car, and they gave me directions. And it was like, what a great place it is. It's right near all this. I drove, and all of a sudden, the guy told me, drive to the end of the street and make a right.
Yeah.
Drive to the end of the street, and there's Warner Brothers Studio.
Oh.
And I made a right, and I'm passing
Warner.
No. And I pass, where do all the dead celebrities get buried there?
Oh, Forest Lawn.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm by Forest Lawn. And then, you know, that apartment house.
Did you go into Forest Lawn? Did you look around?
No, I didn't really get a chance. I was, I kind of shifted around because I realized that was on the way back, that it was Forest Lawn. I didn't realize, but I did pass it on the way there. I also passed by the apartment complex that Jay Leno goes in to knock on people's door at the apartment complex.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I found my way. I got a little lost and I meandered. I found my way to the hotel.
Yes.
I had a little Pollo Loco and went to sleep.
What the hell is Pollo Loco?
Oh, it's very good chicken, a fast food chicken restaurant. But it's like cooked healthy, which I like.
Oh, but yeah, that is good. Yeah.
So,
because I know you are a healthy eater.
Yes.
I know.
Well,
you watch your carbs.
Trust me, I needed it.
Yeah.
So, because I was kind of hungry. I kind of slept for the most of the flight because I was a little exhausted. So, thank you for the sound.
That was track 13.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so I got up in the morning and I went right to CBS Television City in Hollywood. And at the Bob Barker Studio, which I got there a little late.
Wait, it's the Bob? They call it the Bob Barker Studio?
It's the Bob Barker Studio.
Cool.
It is stage 22.
Of course, you know, the minute he retires, it's going to be the John O'Hurley Studio.
No. Oh, John O'Hurley was one of the people who was trying out.
Yes, you told me. Yeah.
And he was awful.
Ooh.
He was terrible.
Why?
He ain't getting the job. He was not prepared. And he did not do homage to the Price is Right stuff. So forget about John O'Hurley getting it.
You know what? He didn't pray to the wheel? I mean,
no, he just fumbled. He wasn't good.
But you said you liked Price. Price was actually pretty...
Yeah, that Price was pretty good.
But he wasn't this time.
No. It was Bob, John O'Hurley.
Danny Bonaducci.
No. Well, that might be interesting. It was Doug. I think
Peyton
his name
Price.
I think his name is Doug Davidson from The Young and the Restless.
Uh huh.
And then there was the guy who does the Las Vegas version of The Price is Right.
There's a what?
Yeah, there's a Las Vegas version. They charge you to go in and play The Price is Right, which is
oh, you mean, oh right, okay.
So anyway, let me finish my story now.
Okay. Yes.
So I go in and I stand and I'm meeting people and blah 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 blah.
Yes.
And we get online and then. In The Price is Right, you stand in lines forever, and you eventually move, and then you get interviewed by the people who are picking the contestants,
right.
The contestant coordinators. At which point, oh, by the way, walking into the lot, the security guard recognized me from the last time I was there, a couple of pages. It was amazing. They all knew me at CBS. So, there's like a wanted poster of me somewhere on the lot.
Yeah.
So, I got to the studio, stood in line, and then I'm going to interviewing the contestant. They go, oh, hi. He goes, I don't think you can do this. You've already been a contestant on the show, and you've been been a contestant on the fake show, the test show.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, I don't think you're eligible. I said, oh, that's what. And the other guys go, no, I think he's eligible. I figured I wasn't eligible. So he did the John O'Hurley couple of shows. I wasn't picked. And I said, oh, maybe I'm really not eligible because I thought they liked me as a contestant. And then they do the Doug Davidson show, and the first four go down, it's not me. The fifth guy goes down, not me. Sixth guy goes down
on whom? No.
Gets called to come on down.
Oh, so he's not going down, he's coming.
Stop it.
All right.
This is my 100% clean family show.
All right, fine.
I'm going to go right into Dave's Gone By.
No, you're not. No,
so
you're
don't
not.
Don't, like, don't stop me.
Yeah, 2 minutes. Go ahead.
So then, all of a sudden, the sixth contestant, all of a sudden I hear, Jeffrey Goodman, come on down. I said,
yay!
I said, no way that happened.
Yeah.
So then, of course, we sit there and I don't get it. And there are three of us sitting in contestant row while the other people are spinning. And I said, this half, because there was a really nice woman to my right. She was really lovely. I really liked her. I met her online. I said, I hope the two of us win. Then there was a woman to my left from Watts.
Oh,
she really, it turned out she was really from Watts.
So if you won, she was stolen it from you. No, okay.
Yes. No, and I said, no, I hope all three of us win. You know, because this poor lady heard me go, I hope you win. So I said, oh, yeah, I hope you win. All three of us will win on the second half. Well, as it turns out, I won the next thing. And they won the next two games.
Well, Mazel Tov. Well, what's your game?
So, yeah. Then, what do I play? The race game again.
Oh, my God.
And this time, the prizes were a little bit more difficult. So, it's me, two models on stage, four prizes, and Doug Davidson going, you know, he goes, you know, it's the race game. You know what that means? I said, yes, it's time for Jeff to exercise. So, I put out all four. I came back. I pulled the handle down, and I get zero.
Wow.
It was... So I had to run back.
Does it tell you if you get a couple right?
Yeah, it tells you how many you get right. So I came back, I switched the first and the second prize, and I said, ooh. And I told the model, ooh, that's not right. I know the total is over 2,000. I'll be back later. And I said, I'm going to tell her. Then I switched the last two, and I pulled the thing down, and it said two. And I said, good, I know that television's wrong, and I know one of the other two has to be wrong. So I said, I'm going to take the television and switch it with the one that's $2,000.
Yeah.
As I'm running back, now remember, I've gone back and forth four times. I'm already, like, half dead. Or 75% dead.
Yeah.
As I'm running, I'm like, really? I thought I was having a heart attack. So I knew what I was doing, but I told Mom, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to die here. It's hard. And I'm going, I'm dying. And they're laughing at me. So I switched the two prizes. I run back, pull the thing, ding, ding, ding. I got all four. I had 4 seconds left.
Whoa, and that was $1,000, right?
That was $1,000 right there. So now the other two women won their way up on stage, and believe it or not, we were in the same order. We sat in the chairs. I spun second. The woman I like spun first. The woman I like spun two spins against 35 cents. I said, I could beat that.
Yeah.
Of course. So what do I spin? 45 cents. So I was going to stop because I didn't want to go over, but the whole audience is going, go.
You have to go over or under a dollar.
You can't go over a dollar, else you're out.
Yeah.
So the audience go, go, go. They said, go, go, go. So I said, okay, but if I go over, it's on their head. And so I spin again, and wouldn't you know, I get 20 cents.
Oh, perfect.
No, it's only 65 cents.
Yeah, but it's still under a dollar.
Yes, but the next woman, all she has to do is between get 65 to a dollar, and I'm okay.
All right, hold on. To be continued a little bit.
Okay.
And Dave's Gone By, because I got to start the show. Do not go away. We're going to hear a little bit more about Jeff's stuff. Do not go away. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Yeah, we're going to have dog night! I see flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, whirling around at night.
Well, welcome everybody to the 205th episode of Dave's Gone By. With me, Dave Lefkowitz, your host on this radio station since 2002, here every week with comedy, talk radio, music, sketches, interviews, and we've got a little bit of everything tonight. It's going to be a wild, fun night. Do not go away from now until midnight. And I'm also here with my usual guest co-host, Jeff Goodman.
You forgot and good friend.
On the radio, it's more important than you're the co-host sometimes. So, and also my always co-host on the big time on another radio station.
Okay, so where was I in the story?
Now we got to recap just in case people were watching something else and didn't hear our pre-show that starts every Sunday at 10:30. Well, Jeff Goodman is going to be on television tomorrow morning. I'm talking not public access like he is every other week on Manhattan Cable. I'm talking like big-time CBS television where Jeff is going to be, or already has been, a contestant on The Price is Right, and it's airing tomorrow, Monday morning at 11 on CBS, and that's Eastern Time.
What? Channel 2.
On Channel 2, yes, CBS. I figure most people kind of remember that CBS is Channel 2.
Oh, right.
Anywho, this was taped about 2 months ago when Jeff went down to Los Angeles, and he's on, I'm sure, a good 10 minutes of the show. He does a couple of games, and I think he does very, very well. So catch it tomorrow morning. But Jeff loves The Price is Right so much that he went down again last week, a couple of days ago, to California just to be on a couple of test tapings of the show for when Bob Barker leaves and some new hosts, or a new host potentially, comes in. So you were talking in the pre-show, Jeff, that last time you were at John, or this time, John O'Hurley, and he wasn't very good at all, and Dave Price did it the last time, you liked him.
And then this guy, Dave Davidson, from The Young and the Restless.
Right, and I'm sure you like him because you got to come on down.
I came on down for his show, and even though they told me I wasn't eligible because they were just playing with me, so I came on down. Now remember, I won my way up on stage. I had a hard time with the race game, but I conquered it. And I did the race game, won the $1,000 there. And then the woman before me, who was a friend of mine, spun 35 cents. I then spun 65 cents. And then finally the woman after me, thank goodness, went over a dollar. So she went, the woman from Watts went over a dollar. And that put Jeff in the showcase. And so that, I was so thrilled, I almost cried.
Yay!
I was really happy about it. We could double yay that one.
Yay!
Wow, a double yay. That's pretty neat. Yeah. That's exciting.
So I love that. So now, I'm in the showcase. And what's hilarious is I know the other guy because I met him online too. You meet all these people online. And he knew I knew The Price is really low. So we're getting to, now he's the top winner and I'm the runner-up because, of course, I only got fake small prizes rather than he had won a fake car in his
game. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
He won a car that he wasn't going to get, and so he got $1,000. So he starts turning to me during the commercial break. He goes, how much are the vacations and how much is this? And I'm going, in my head, I'm going, dude, you're my competition now.
Yeah,
I can't help you.
Yeah, of course.
So what do I tell him?
Lie him, yeah.
I said, well, vacations can be anything from Sonoma, California at $500, or it could be Australia $10,000. So
$10,000?
Yeah, yeah, because they price them really high.
Jeez.
So I said, the further away it is, that's I charge more.
Yeah.
Instead of going, I'm not telling you. I told him. I said, now don't you pass me garbage, because I was just joking. Because he has the option of bidding or passing on the first showcase. First showcase opens,
mm-hmm.
Really, really ugly wicker bedroom set.
An ugly wicker.
Ugly,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't make fun of me when I can't speak.
Okay.
It's just radio.
Do your thing.
So you just correct
only
me.
Radio, ladies. It's not big time TV.
Okay, that's right. It's not The Price is Right, Channel 2, 11 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So
anyway, it's an ugly wicker bedroom set, a mattress, 5 pieces of Ricardo of Beverly Hills luggage,
ooh,
and a trip to the Caribbean. I said, wow, that's pretty
good. You know, Ricardo of Beverly Hills was once Richie of Newark.
Okay. You're making this longer.
Overnight name change. Yeah, well.
So, anyway.
I couldn't possibly make this longer.
Yeah, well, yeah. We are. But, so, anyway, of course, what does he do? My good friend passes me the crappy showcase.
Oh.
But at which point I went, ooh, good, because I know from years of watching The Price is Right that a bedroom set and other stuff is usually about $12,000. And I figure they tacked in the Caribbean vacation, which probably from L.A., they charge about $5,000. So in my head, I said $17,000. But wanting to be clever all the time, yeah. I said, I forgot his name now. I said, well, I have a very patriotic bid for you. I bid $17,760. And it went ding, and then we went to another showcase.
Yeah.
And he got a Ford Mustang convertible and a trip to, like, I think he got a trip to Australia or something.
Well, like, of course, he doesn't actually get these things.
Right.
He just gets
$1,000. And he did $39,000. I said, that's pretty, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm like going, did $100,000. Go over and I can win. And so it goes to commercial, and then they do things like they put they put what showcase you were bidding for, they slide it in. I got crap. He got car. I got bedroom / trip.
All right, well,
he got car. And then they put the price in there, in the side pocket. Like, you want to go, how close was I? But you can't look. So then all of a sudden the bad thing happened. The
what?
Host came.
You broke wind.
The host was told to open my envelope first. Usually the person whose envelope is open first is not the closest to the
aww.
Prize. And I'm going, oh. And then he opens up. He goes, you bid $17,760. The very patriotic $17,776. And the actual retail price is $18,260. I was exactly $500 off. I've never seen that happen before.
Wow.
I said, and in my head I'm going, did this guy get within $500 and I'm going to lose? I'm going to die. So he goes, you bid on the car $39,000. And in the commercial, I told this man, no matter who wins, because I thought he might win,
yeah.
I said, let's be civil and shake hands on this. Let's be nice to each other. You win. He goes, the actual retail price of your showcase is $30,000. You're over.
Way
Jeffrey,
over.
You win. So what do? I jump up and down, shake his hand, hug him.
Yeah.
And then hug the new host, run to the middle of the stage, but don't know where I'm going. And the two models are going, come here, in front of the Caribbean vacation thing. So I said, okay. So I hugged them.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And they're very thin and very small.
Yeah.
And then we're sitting there talking, and then the one girl, in very model-like thing, takes her left hand, extends it out, and she goes, why don't we walk this way? She really does. She just says, why don't we walk this way to the bedroom
set? If you can walk that way, you can.
So we walk to the bedroom set.
Oh, sure.
Yes, well, now, Dave, how was your week? I had two models escort me to a bedroom set.
Yay!
So we walked over to the bedroom set, at which point the announcer, Rich Field, came over and shook my hand, and the models were around me, and some other people. I was waiting for some friends in the audience, but they said they couldn't get out of the row for some reason. Because they said, come on up, because they thought it would be fun for them, too.
Okay.
But I had a great time, and we just sat there waving at the camera.
Oh, so at the end of the thing. I thought you got to play another game after
No, I won the whole showcase. I won the big... I got the whole enchilada there, Dave. So... Now, you forgot is you forgot that that's only you win money. So instead of the open bedroom set...
What did you get, $2,000 this time?
$5,000. I came out of there with this... I went to California for a day.
I'm going to mug you after the show.
And I came away with $6,200, Dave.
Holy crap. I don't earn that in a month.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to play yay. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I hate you. Congratulations.
So I have won just on two of the test shows...
Yeah.
$7,400.
My God. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
For that.
That's why I was so happy when I called you.
And are you going to do another test show again?
If they, as long as it's not while I'm in Thailand, I tell them I will be back for every test show, but they're eventually not going to pick me.
Eventually they're going to have a host. They won't need to do any more test shows. They're going to pick.
Oh, but you know what the best part of the whole thing was for
what?
Me?
What?
Not winning the money, I must tell you. First of all, the best part was just being $500 off on the showcase.
Okay.
And the fact that the people at CBS knew who I was. And the guys, I talked to them after the show. I said, why'd you tell me I couldn't be eligible? He goes, well, we wanted to put you off. We didn't want you to know. We want you to be at your best. We want you to be surprised. I said, fine, I'll be surprised. Just tell me.
Yeah.
So, but he goes, and by the way, the CBS executives all remembered you. They all knew me from the previous
day. See, this time she brought her resume and her headshot. And
it turns out that I am like a great Price is Right. Cause who knew? I could be
anybody could look at you and know that you would be a great Price is Right contestant.
I'm going to be a professional Price is Right contestant. But I also became friendly with this guy from the Young and the Restless. So I'm going to try and talk to him, and maybe he'll invite me down to see The Young and the Restless being taped.
Cool. Well, you're not going to be able to come on down on that one.
No, but I don't know. Well, I'm going to ask him if I can, like, just be an extra, you know?
Right.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I think it would be really good. I mean, aren't most of the things taped in New York? No,
they're
the
taped
soap
in
office?
California,
oh,
The Young and the Restless.
Okay. Anyway, speaking of being young and, I'm middle-aged and restless, and we got to get to some business, and we have someone on the phone.
I'm sorry, but it was a good story.
It was a wonderful story, and congratulations.
Yay!
You lucky, lucky.
Yay!
Bastard. Anyway, we want to thank also, we haven't even gotten to thank the sponsors of this particular program. Dave's gone by.
I have enough money I can sponsor the damn thing.
Damn, well, you are one of us. Thank you very much. What's your,
Oh, fancy schmancy doings. You'd have to buy any. I'm going to Thailand for a month.
Well, so a month from now, you'll start pushing that. But
there are people answering the phone, so you can still call Fancy Schmancy Balloons at area code 516-797-3229.
516-797-3229 for balloons and centerpieces for your parties. Also, mortgagesrock.com.
Or if you want to learn about Price is Right.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. We're a quarter of the way through the show. We haven't gotten anything yet.
Let's talk about mortgagesrock.com.
Yes.
They can meet all your mortgage needs and the needs of your friends, and you can earn money by getting your friends' mortgages.
Terrific. And you let Minuteman Press.
The
Copy Kings of Broadway. 1315 Broadway, right next to the new Lowman's Shoe Store. You let Minuteman Press.
So when you're going for your Lowman's shoes, copy them.
That's right. You buy one pair, and then you can copy the rest.
You just feel like you have 40 pairs when you finish.
Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
I call it the Bible of Broadway.
I call it the Bible of Broadway, too.
I'm the one who called it first.
Did you? No,
yes,
you didn't.
Yes,
it's been called the Bible of Broadway since 1944 when they founded it.
I came out of the birth canal going, that's the Bible of Broadway.
And it must have been quite a canal. Anywho, Performing Arts Insider.
Don't you talk about my mother this time.
.com is the place to find out about Performing Arts Insider. Anyway, coming up next, we have two amazing, really interesting, scary guests.
Yet nothing more interesting than my Price is Right.
Nothing more than that. We have our recurring, wonderful rabbi who joins this program, Rabbi Saul Solomon, who is the spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. But he's not alone this time. He's going to be talking to a swami. He's going to do sort of a cross-religious, cross-generational kind of thing here.
Am I allowed to interject in that conversation
absolutely,
as well?
Absolutely. You can be sort of the voice of reason.
Or not.
Or
I'll just be the voice of the Price is Right.
Exactly.
I just kept saying, come on down.
We'll be saying it to the rabbi and to Swami Bendy G. Baldy G. Forgive me.
Baldy
G. Because he's quite,
he's bald and maybe a little bendy.
And if you see his little yoga poses, he kind of is. So, we will be back with a rabbi and the Swami.
And me.
Right after this.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. This is Jeff Goodman. We are being joined this evening by Rabbi Saul Solomon.
Shalom, damn it!
And Bendy G.
Swami Baldy G.
Swami Baldy G. So this is a segment called The Rabbi, the Swami, and Me.
So first of all, the Swami, are you there? Are you hearing the thing?
Yes, I am here, Rabbi. You hear me well?
Oh, I hear you. Oh, you're screaming even louder than I do. This is exciting. How are you? How was your weekend, damn it?
Oh, shalom, Rabbi. It was wonderful. I had my favorite kosher meal.
What is your favorite kosher meal, then?
His wife.
Kosher ham. I had kosher ham. It was delicious.
What is that kosher ham?
Yes.
What exactly is that? I've never had a kosher ham.
That would be Sammy Davis Jr., right?
Very good. Well, maybe you won't be a Skype man. This is going to be interesting. So, Swami, when did you become a Swami? Were you waiting out upon the... Sorry?
Well, Rabbi, when I became Swami, Baldy G was before I was in India, little boy. I was on help desk. An American called me. He says, I said, hello, my name Chuck. He says, you don't sound like Chuck. I said, you hear? My name is Chuck. He said, no, you sound like Habib. I said, I'm not Habib, I'm Chuck. Damn it. And after that, I got fired, and then I became Swami Baldy G.
Okay, and was this around the same time that the Bible of Broadway was born, in 1944?
No, I think he's a little bit younger than this, although...
So how long have you been Swami Baldy G?
About 520 years.
Oh, so you were... So how was the birth of Christ? Oh, no, that was 2,000 years ago. 520 years. That puts it at...
That wasn't the birth of Christ.
1500s?
Not that Christ was ever actually born since 1500.
So tell me, did you know George Washington?
Who?
George Washington crossed the Delaware, founded the country.
That was only 200 years. Oh, he would have.
So he lived in
line. Did you know Georgie Boy?
No, but I remember Bob Hope.
Oh, I was at his airport the other day.
What did you think of Bob Hope?
He has an airport in Burbank now, by the way.
Yes, that's where I was. That's why I saw the sign. It said Bob Hope.
So did you have a? So you hope you fly into Bob Hope?
No, I hope that I not fly into Bob Hope because that is what I see, Bob Hope on the sign. What do you think I am, idiot?
I don't know, Swami. Are you?
Let me ask you some questions. See this,
Rabbi, ask me whatever you want to ask me.
I will.
Does that mean I can't ask you what you want? I want to.
You can also ask me.
Okay.
People ask me all the time.
Okay, Rabbi, why don't you ask the Swami a question?
May I? I would
because
really
the rabbi is sitting here poking me. Yes, please, ask a question.
And you should see if I can poke you, but no.
You know, Rabbi, when I was a little boy, I also wanted to be Jewish.
No. Why?
I went to a rabbi. I said, hey, I want to be Jewish. He said, it would be $5,000 to be Jewish. I said, you idiot, I give you $500. He said, congratulations, you are now a Jew.
That's mean. I don't like that joke. Shame on you for telling that. That's nasty. But
I don't even understand that one, Rabbi.
That's something they cut out of the Borat movie. All right, but let me ask you something.
I saw that on a Jewish website.
Did you really? All right, it's somehow different when a Jew tells it. So maybe do you have any Jewish blood in you at all?
I think I may have some Jewish blood in me.
Yes?
It was the man who wished wine I had the other day.
I what did you say? I didn't hear.
A little Manischewitz
wine. A Manischewitz wine, yes.
Yes. So that maybe give me some Jewish blood.
No, that gave you some Jewish agita.
Basically, yes. And then Jewish calories.
And gas.
Let me ask you. I get up in the morning, I can barely move my arm, I can barely move my back, my neck. Meanwhile, you people, you can twist yourselves into pretzels, into shapes. I tried that once, I put my left testicle over my shoulder. How do you do this?
Well, the problem was you put your left testicle. You see, if you were to put the right testicle, you wouldn't have been that uncomfortable.
Oh, the wrong
one.
So
next time you have to put both testicles over the shoulder. That way you won't have the discomfort.
But wouldn't having two testicles next to your head drive you nuts? That's a little rabbinical comedy for you. We're here with Swami Baldy G on the Dave's Gone By Radio program. Now you. This is another thing a Jew would never do. There's no point. We don't have the training. You climbed a mountain? What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, you know, last year I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
What?
And I went to Africa, and I climbed the mountain. And if you want to hear about the adventure of Kilimanjaro, you can go to my website, which is Wajid Live, WAJIDLIVE.com.
Well, I don't want to go to your website to hear about it. You're on my show. Tell me about it.
Well, I climb Kilimanjaro, I do fundraiser, you know?
What were you raising money for?
I help money for different charities, and next year I go to Kilimanjaro for Feed the Children. So I climb Kilimanjaro next year. So if you want to donate for the little kiddies, you can go to my website and donate.
What does climbing a mountain have to do with feeding? If I wanted to climb something, I climb ShopRite. I climb the things, I get food, and I give it to the children. What the hell does a mountain have to do with it?
I thought you wanted to climb Farrah Fawcett, Rabbi.
Farrah Fawcett? What decade are you living in? maybe Jill Hennessy, but no, she's not Jewish. Anywho, what else? So, let's talk spiritually. Are you able to talk in a deep, meaningful, spiritual level, goddammit?
My name is not Goddammit, it's Swami, by the way.
Oh, sorry, that's my nickname for everything and everybody.
Swami, I apologize for the rabbi, he's a little crude at times.
A little?
That's okay, continue.
It's an easy question. How do we get peace in the Middle East, in India and Pakistan, and how do you work an iPod?
I remember one rabbi He was on the Wailing Wall for many, many years, and he was praying for peace and world enlightenment and everything. And I asked the rabbi, I said to him, I said, you were at the Wailing Wall for nearly 20 years praying for peace. I said, what do you see in that? He said, well, you know, it looks like I'm really talking to a brick wall.
Bum, bum.
And
you gotta leave these jokes to the Jews.
The problem is we're never going to get peace in the Middle East unless everybody eats kosher ham.
Unless everybody eats a shares a kosher
ham. We still haven't decided what is a kosher ham.
I think he wants to smoke a kosher ham, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know what that
means. Everybody eating kosher ham, everybody together, then we have peace in Middle East.
Now tell me, where do you live?
Where do I live?
Mm-hmm.
I live in Baltimore. Where do you live?
In Baltimore? Oh, did you know John Waters?
Who?
John Waters.
No.
You obviously never saw Hairspray.
Who?
He's bald. Of course he never saw Hairspray.
He lives in Baltimore. Oh, I thought he said Baltimore.
Bum, chewy. All right, thank you very much.
So we're in Baltimore. And how are the crabs? You got crabs?
I'm sure he does. Hello?
Continue. Yeah, I'm here.
We're doing a radio program here, you know.
Sound like double dutch to me.
Double dutch?
Yes.
Are we jumping rope?
Triple Dutch. You sound like triple Dutch to me tonight.
Triple Dutch. Ooh, my wooden shoes are out.
My favorite chocolate. Okay. He asked, where in the Baltimore vicinity do you live? Are you in an ashram or something?
Well, near Indiana.
And if you've ever had your ashram, do you know just how painful that can be?
Near Indiana. But Baltimore, last I learned, was in Maryland.
Fairyland? No, I'm not from Fairyland. That is in West Hollywood.
But I'm pumped to you, too.
Now, Tim, when you stay away from the Jewish stuff, you're funny. This is good. All right. Let me ask you, Swami.
I leave the Jewish jokes to you. And hey, you know what they call a Pakistani who lives between two houses?
What?
Ali.
What?
Ali.
Ali.
Oh, Ali. Get it?
Oh!
That was funny.
And if he prays, he's Muhammad Ali.
Ethnic joke. You see, I'm not talking Jewish now. I'm talking ethnic. It takes you a little while to figure it out. But what is your mom?
Yay!
We're doing great. This is fabulous.
Don't we have some Indian music we could play?
Oh, I do. I have a little craft of this thing. I have this is my one.
Play a sound effect for him.
I don't, what kind of sound effect? I got this. This is the sound effect that Dave left in the cart. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
What is that?
I think it's an airplane. I don't know. It's an Indian airline.
Everything sounds like the ocean to me, Rabbi. I'm sorry.
Rabbi, let me ask you. I saw a movie the other day, Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes.
But why a fiddler on the roof?
Why not? That's the ultimate Jewish answer.
That's what I want to know. It is very confusing for
because
me.
Our life is as tenuous as a fiddler on the roof.
That's right.
Now, let me tell you about Anatevka.
What if he's sitting on the roof and he falls and breaks down and then he sues everybody?
I've news for you. He's not sitting. He's standing.
He's standing. He's playing his little music. If he falls, it's Russia. Who's he going to sue? He's going to fall in the snow. He'll get right up, no problem.
Okay, I understand.
So have you ever been to India?
In my last life I was in India, and my last life before that I was in India.
And what were you in the last couple of lives?
And so it's been a few lifetimes, but
so you've never really.
India is a very, very nice place.
So wait, before you were you reincarnated as some other things in your past lives?
Or have you just been?
Well, I remember one time I was a palm tree.
Oh, that's nice.
And, were you a coconut palm or an oil palm?
I was a palm tree in a tropical island, yeah. And I had bikini-clad ladies who were drinking on my coconut.
I hate when that happens.
I don't. I pray for that. Hey, let me ask you a question here.
That was a good life.
It was a good lie, a very good
well,
lie.
Well, at least you were stiff. You were right up there.
with his oily palms. But let me tell you something. How do you pray? What is your prayer sound like? I mean, I know I do a Shema Yisrael. How do you pray?
Well, I give you a very interesting mantra. Would you like to repeat it?
I will. If it doesn't mention Jesus, absolutely.
Okay. Well, this is sacred Mandarin, ancient Mandarin Chinese mantra. and you have to do it. I said to you slowly, you repeat it, and then after that, you repeat it five times. You do that, Rabbi?
Repeat it once and then five more times.
Oh, by the way, I have a mantra for you, my old Indian mantra.
It goes
when you're
like
done.
This. It goes, Rabbi, you go, Owa.
Owa.
Tagu.
Tagu.
Siam.
Siam. I saw this episode. Oh, what a goose I am. I get it. Funny, though. Very funny. Where was that from? What TV show did you see?
I don't know. I think it was an old laughing comedy thing I saw on TV the other day.
That's from the Artie Johnson used to play a turban head. And I don't mean that in a nasty way. Because turban, well, I kind of do. But it's all right. Artie Johnson, I liked him. So, you, I think, are a millionaire. I thought Jews were supposed to have the money.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
He does. He is. Is
this true? I thought the guy from Price is Right. I thought he was a millionaire. He was messing with the models, and then he said, I win this many money, and I win the tropical. Maybe he's a millionaire.
No, he doesn't get the actual prizes. He just gets, like, a couple of thousand, and not that I would turn this down.
Well, I was listening in. He said, a model come up to him, nice model, and they say, you win car, you win this. Maybe he's a millionaire. I'm not a millionaire.
Oh, you're not?
I am Nicolaire.
Well, you're just putting your 5 cents in. But, you know, thank you very much. Now, are you a healer? Do you help people in that way? Do you spiritual?
No, I'm not a healer as such. I learned from my master, and I promote his book, You Too Can Heal. And it is a great book. It was written in 1975. And it basically says that everybody, every man, woman, and child on planet, they can give healing. Very, very simple. You bring the energy down, you send it out. And if you want to be serious, that is the best way to give healing and to help peace on the world.
I keep trying to tell my dogs, you too can heal. But they don't. Nothing works for them.
You have to bring it down and send it out.
I don't know. Well, did you have an Indian mantra? I'm sorry. What?
You can fetch.
I missed that. What did you say?
Fetch.
I'm a kvetch. I know I'm a kvetch. But anyway. So,
hey. The rabbi's a little bitter tonight.
Why am I bitter?
Because you didn't win $5,000 on the price tonight.
I'm a bitter herb tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But, this is what everybody's waiting for. It's 11:31 in the evening, and it's late enough. We can talk. You know, you're an Indian person.
But no
You've heard of the Kama Sutra. Have you ever done the tantric stuff, the sexual things? My sexual thing consists of begging, basically. Begging and having children. What about
well,
you?
Well, I do Kama Sutra one day. I do 1.5 position, then I have to see chiropractor.
I know. This.
Ain't that the truth?
Yes. So I don't know how the heck they do the 100 positions. I don't know. Then again, they have 1 billion children, 1 billion people in India. So I guess they know how to do Kama Sutra.
No time.
Well, obviously they don't know birth control, but they know the Kama Sutra.
Yeah, that's why on a business level, I would have to tell you, do not try to invest in condom machine in India. You will go bust in 2 days.
Probably.
This is
so
true.
So tell me, what is up with the cow thing?
This is a good question. I love kosher meat.
I don't like making fun of people's religion, so I won't mention the cow. Except in yoga, manual cow is sacred because as yogis, they derive the milk and the yogurt and the butter to help them reach a spiritual level. So that is why cow is regarded as sacred. But then at the same time, people make fun of cow. That is their problem.
Okay, well, we won't make fun of cow.
Can we make fun of sheep?
Well, I'm
I make fun of sheep.
You can make fun of sheep, but you know that was one of my
girlfriends.
You know, then you're sheep, you know.
Oh, indeed.
Now also tell me, I'm assuming you have relatives in India.
Yes, I have 3,428.
Very nice.
This is impressive. You know, I have 22.5 children. I'm so proud.
No, those are just my nephews.
And is anyone involved in Bollywood?
Bollywood? Oh, yes, I have plenty of people in Bollywood. They know they change their costume 20 times in one set and sing high-pitched noise and do dancing.
A lot of water scenes.
If you really do that in India, you get arrested. Only in movies you can do that, you know?
Oh.
So what is the most weird or dangerous thing that you have done? Have you ever set yourself on fire like those monks?
Well, I think the most weirdest and dangerous thing that I've ever done is talk to a rabbi in New York.
You are not kidding there.
Yeah, no question about this. Absolutely not. Yeah.
And also, you haven't been to India, but yet you have tons of relatives there. How does that work?
Yes, you know, they breed like flies, you know.
They're trying to climb the walls to get in.
India,
yes.
I go to my website, www.indian.com.
Indian what?
Indian.com, that's your website.
No, it's...
No, your YG Live.
Rabbi, calm down.
LIVE.com.
Yeah,
Indian Live?
No, Wajid Live.com. His name is Wajid, but we call him Swami.
WAJID?
Yes.
LIVE.com.
Yes, we've established that. This is exciting. Let's talk more about his website.
On my website.
Can they win fabulous cash prizes?
You made guest appearance on Dave Gambari on your website.
Well, will Dave Gambari have a link to your website?
Eventually, at some point.
Maybe, I don't know.
You have a link to Dave Gambari on your website.
Not a web masturbator.
What?
Ooh.
I missed that. What did that?
I'm sorry, we are screwing.
Webmaster, I'm sorry. I thought
he's talking about sheep again. This is a very...
No, he's talking something about fishing, I believe.
I think the web masturbators are the one who watch the pornographic on the web.
I missed this.
Webmaster is somebody who makes the website. Is that correct?
This is correct.
Yes.
Now, can I ask you about Nirvana?
Who?
Nirvana.
Kurt Cobain, all those
people. Very good pop group. I like them.
Okay. No, but have you...
We came up with the same joke at the same time. Okay, yes.
So, but have you reached any of the levels towards Nirvana?
Well, I try to reach a very high level of spiritual Nirvana, but I eat too much popcorn.
Popcorn is bad?
Yes. Or bubblegum was that? Popcorn or bubblegum? Yes.
Watch popcorn. I watch old reruns of Mission Impossible and eat popcorn. So very hard for me at night to reach Nirvana.
Oh. You know, I hear Oprah's going.
Oprah's level?
Reaching Nirvana. Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
Does Oprah reach 200 pounds?
I think she passed 200 pounds and she's on
Oprah right. Is. Don't you mess with Oprah?
Why can't we mess with Oprah?
Because she can squash each and every one of us.
By sitting on us.
She's lovely. She lost a lot of weight.
She would definitely squash me.
No, she lost a lot of weight. And
like
all the people who help her diet have books. No, she looks lovely. Oprah's a wonderful person. We love Oprah. She's queen of the world. And she could be president. If she ran for president, I bet you she could win. Would you vote for Oprah?
Are you asking me? Let's ask the Swami.
I'm asking the Swami.
And you can vote. So it's, so.
Are you an American?
Oprah, if she gave me a brand new car like she gave to people on show, I would definitely vote for her.
Oh.
I need a new car. I have 94 Subaru with 165,000 miles. I would vote for her. I would say president immediately.
And six families living in the trunk. This is.
Whoop-de-doo for your Subaru.
So let me wrap this up by asking one more question of what is something that would surprise people about the life of a Swami?
Well, my message as Baldy G is to inspire the shiny domes around the planet. You see all the Baldies. That is my message. I'm trying to inspire shiny domes around the planet.
So that would be your form of enlightenment?
That is my message. Yes, that is Swamiji's message is to help every body on the planet to gain enlightenment.
Okay, now I heard that you live way down upon the Swami River. Is this true?
You stole my other joke. You bastard!
I didn't steal it. I made that one up.
You made it. Hello.
I didn't even
the name
that.
Of this show is called Way Down Upon the Swami. That is the actual name of this episode of Dave's Gone By. Thank you very much.
The Swami?
Yeah.
You know, this lady said that to me the other day. I declined because she was too expensive.
Oh.
No.
She was $12. No, I'm kidding. I can't.
Rabbi doesn't understand. I'm very bright. I make lots of money on the prices, right?
So, Swami, now is the time when you are welcome to push one more time your website. Tell everyone.
And your book and your movie.
I tell the listeners, if they want to buy a book, you too can learn healing, then they can go to website WAJIDLIVE, WAJIDLIVE.com.
WAJIDLIVE.com. People can also see, you have a very cool website. I saw you on there, you a little bit part on the Jay Leno program. There's some of you doing the stand-up coming on the cabaret. Very entertaining, very good stuff. I don't know why you were so crappy on this show, but usually you're very
Rabbi,
good.
Rabbi, he
kidding.
Was very good on the show.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're beautiful. I love you. You know, not in any kind of way where you could marry into my family because you're goyish. But for a goy, you're not bad. I have to say this.
Well, for the rabbi, I think you're okay.
Oh, you, it's a love fest.
I love this.
If we could spread this to
I
Middle
feel like
East.
Jimmy Carter.
Well, thank you.
I think the Swami and the rabbi should go on the road.
Oh, the Swami and the rabbi should be friends.
Well, we'll be killed by neo-Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan.
No. We put top hat and we put a tailored suit and we go on the road and we do the Swami Baldiji and Rabbi show.
I think you should. I think it would kind of be like Young Frankenstein.
Who would be the monster or me? No question, I would be the monster. Anyway.
Of course you got to have... Swamis, rabbis, you gotta have friends.
That's terrible. That's not even, it's got nothing to do with anything.
Rabbi, you don't like anything.
No, I don't. I'm a miserable, miserable middle-aged man.
But Swami, it's been fun talking to you.
You are singing Swami, so let me reply. If I were a rich man, dooba 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 doo.
You wouldn't be living in that Subaru, would you? If you were a rich man, Subaru.
Okay, if I were a rich man, I would not need a Subaru.
That's it, Swami.
Super. You're really having a delightful guest. Thank you so much. Please welcome back to the neighborhood anytime, Swami Baldy G.
Bendy G also.
I appreciate it. Shalom, shalom, peace, and shalom.
And what do I say to you? What's your word?
Salam.
You said namaste.
Namaste, yes.
Namaste. No mustache there for you at all.
Namaste.
Have a good night. And we will
yeah,
be right
night.
Back with more of the Dave's Gone By radio program with Dave
and
Jeff. Right
okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
From...
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. As we are inside Broadway with me, Dave, and Jeff Goodman. Hello, Jeff. Jeff is somehow mocking my speech. I may have to wait. Let's do. The rabbi is busy nailing Jeff's hands to a wooden cross at the moment.
Jesus Christ, superstar. Is it Broadway already?
Actually, they're not reviving that one yet, but there is talk.
They did a really bad revival a couple of years ago.
Well, it wasn't really. That was more of a touring kind of concert thing. But they are thinking now of reviving what pop musical that's very much in the public mind and the public consciousness. Because... it's on our screens. Jeff? Tick-tock, tick-tock.
It's on our screens?
Yeah. All over America.
Oh, that's easy.
And we'll be in won't be in contention on the...
Isn't it Grease, You're the One That I Want?
That's on a small screen, but, well, obviously they are reviving Grease. But there is talk now, after it had cooled down for about a year or so, of reviving Dreamgirls. As a Broadway show, because what happened was there was all this talk about it about a year and a half ago, and then they toned it down because the movie was going to come out, and they wanted to see how it was going to do and cool everything until it was released. And what Jeff, you're looking at me.
I'm hearing snowplows outside.
Oh, wow. Yeah, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we finally got our first snowfall, and we're stuck out in Babylon, Long Island. It's going to be a long ride home tonight.
No, we're not in Babylon. It says on the show that we're in Freeport.
Yeah, right. Okay. Anywho, where come on, let's do Inside Broadway.
I didn't say anything. I was just listening. I heard a snowplow.
Yeah, I saw your eyes go, ooh. Anywho.
That was the eyes of Laura Mars.
John Braulio, who's the lawyer for all these kinds of things, or this particular show, mm-hmm. says now that the movie's out, it's a big hit, they can talk again seriously about bringing the Henry Krieger musical
and you know,
to Broadway.
You know what happens when they bring it back?
What?
They're just not going to nominate it either.
And well, yeah, but that time, I'll bet they bring What's-Her-Name back as recompense for not casting her in the movie. Jennifer Holliday. Would she be too old?
Yeah. She's well, also totally gospel now, isn't she?
Well, I know, but I'm sure if they asked her to do Effie on Broadway again, you don't think she would drop gospel?
Maybe
like
she's
Little
thin.
Richard and
isn't she thin now?
Is she really?
Yeah, I think
well,
so.
she's not. All right, maybe she's thinner.
Maybe she got the operation.
That could be. She got a staple.
Not a staple. They just cut out your whole.
Anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
Someone who no amount of surgery will help. The Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Well, why does he get plastic surgery? He's been working now for 20 years.
19. That's the thing. Phantom of the Opera turns 19 years old, or turned, on January 26. Opened back in 1988, and it has played nearly 8,000 performances. It is the longest-running show in Broadway history. And it's playing at where?
The Majestic.
The Majestic Theater, the Andrew Lloyd Webber. Remember, folks, this is not a Webber Rice show. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber with Charles Hart and Richard Stilgo.
You know, I forgot that.
Yeah, people think of it, oh, it's Webber and Rice. It's not, you know.
Ooh, Dave, interesting fact.
Little factoid, yeah. Here's another little fact about people who want to know what's happening off-Broadway in the coming weeks, since this is Inside Broadway.
So why not talk about off-Broadway?
Yeah, right. Why not? It's my show. I can do what I please. Wallace Shawn is back.
Really?
Yeah. He's doing a solo show, an old one of his, called The Fever, at the Acorn Theater on Theater Row, which is all the way down
nice.
42nd.
It's nice now. They redid that theater.
It's beautiful. It's like six different theaters in this one building.
It's really
very
nice.
Mellow, very quiet. It's not what I would call
it. It's
elegant.
Right next door to the Little Schubert.
Yes. And a couple, I mean, it's still Theater Row,
yeah.
And they still got to do something with the Hausman. But it's at least they built some of it up again, and that's a nice place to go see a bunch of things. Yeah. It's a nice
lobby. The parking lot's right across the street.
Very mellow. So anyway, Wallace Shawn is doing, it's opening tomorrow, Monday the 29th, running through early March. And this is the plot of The Fever. An anonymous narrator wakes up in a war-torn country with a terrible fever, and he's unable to reconcile the privilege that he previously enjoyed with his current surroundings. Now, everybody knows Sean, I guess, from The Princess Bride. He's, if you don't know who I'm talking about, he's a little bald guy with a squeaky voice. If you saw him in a minute, you know exactly who I mean. And
death.
And he also wrote the execrable play Aunt Anne and Lemon, which was revived a couple of years ago. And he did that horrible adaptation of Threepenny Opera last year. But hey, he deserves one more. If he strikes out a third time, I'm just writing him off. I'm not even going to watch him when he's on TV anymore. But he's such a lovable. Oh, and of course, My Dinner with Andre. That's what people know him best from.
And he also, I think, played a dog in Some of My Best Friends with Ted Knight.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean the voice of a dog or the
no, an actual dog on stage he played.
I believe it.
In some a play called, I remember it was Ted Knight's last Broadway performance. I think only
that was a Broadway show.
Yeah, it was called Some of My Best Friends. I believe it was at the Longacre Theater.
Oh, wow!
And Wallace Shawn played his dog.
I did not. You know what? I also didn't know when we were doing sort of a quick obit last week on Art Buchwald, since I wasn't particularly familiar with him. Mm-hmm. Forgot to totally mention that he wrote a Broadway play. Do you know what the name is? And it actually ties in with what we were talking about with Swami Baldiji.
I forgot. I did
a
read
a play
that.
Called Sheep on the Runway.
You said that, I think.
Did I mention
yes,
that?
Yes, I
oh,
think
okay,
you did.
So.
So you're not as stupid as you think.
I'm just forgetful now.
That's right.
I'm middle aged.
Well, what do you want?
Well, I'm 43 now, so I guess I get to forget.
Well,
now.
Hopefully you'll live to 86, so this is middle aged.
Only 86? F you.
At least 86.
Thank you. That's better. Thank you very much.
If you only live to 50, you're on the way to old age.
All right. Anyway, one more thing before we get to the reviews on Inside Broadway.
Okay.
One other show that's going to be opening on this Tuesday, by Richard Nelson. He's the guy who wrote Some Americans Abroad, and he has a play about the life, the family life, of Frank Lloyd Wright. Apparently, as brilliant an architect and designer as he was not the best father of a dysfunctional family. So, pretty good cast there. Peter Weller, Harris Yulin, and Mary Beth Fisher starring at Playwrights Horizons. That's also right down there in that Theater Row area on 42nd Street. Again, opening Tuesday, play called Frank's Home.
Also, isn't Prelude to a Kiss opening?
So quickly?
Or it's starting previews, at least.
Probably starting previews either this week or next. So that's coming with, in there? That's the guy from Cheers.
John
Mahoney. And I don't know the girl that well.
I don't know either. But anyway, also there's Voyage, the second.
March. That may start previews now. But again, I think Voyage isn't. That's the third. Voyage was the first. Shipwreck was the second. And then either Rescue or Recovery or something like that is the third episode of the Tom Stoppard trilogy.
Okay.
But anyway, that's not for a couple of weeks. So anyway,
Spring Awakening still playing.
Yes. Got some reviews. And you're going to be on The Price is Right tomorrow.
and I'll stop talking now. Gee, do you have any reviews for us?
I do, but after this message. Yes, Performing Arts Insider, proud sponsors. Or at least they were proud until this episode.
but you know, the music is very classy there.
Well, the thing is, it's not so... I forget what show it's
from. It's like
the
Million Dollar Movie.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very nice. Very grand.
I'd rather bowl for dollars, though.
or spin for dollars.
Or bowl for Columbine.
Anyway, I saw two shows this week. I want to tell everybody about them.
Oh, Dave, what'd you see?
I saw on Broadway a revival of Brian Friel's play Translations, which is a very... it's a very, very good play. I thought when I was going in, I thought classic, great play, because he is a great, truly great writer, one of our greatest living playwrights. But almost, at least in this production, but not quite. It's got not a famous cast, but they went for a cast of people who are actually Irish, which is kind of nice. And they usually they have to import half American, half, or they bring the whole Irish cast for a couple of weeks, and then they'll have to go away. And Equity will bring in Americans. So they've got Neil Buggy, Alan Cox, Geraldine Hughes, Graham Malcolm. I mean, it's a very good and well-directed piece. And it's all about how this little town, Ballybeg, that Friel writes about a lot, back in the 1830s, they were left alone. They have this little hedge school, they call it, where the teacher teaches everything in Gaelic and Latin. Thank you very much, Jeff.
I'm just giving you the sounds of a babbling brook for...
Yeah, because I don't have that on this little CD thing. So a little babbling... They have brooks, they have streams. It's this idyllic, truly kind of area. Only problem is the British have found out about it, and they're coming with mapmakers to change the names of all the little towns, the little rocks and the stones and the pathways, and to map it, basically, for taxation, even though these people are barefoot and have nothing. So they send two cartographers to the province... One of them doesn't speak any English, any Gaelic at all, doesn't speak the local language, and the other does, and so he's there as a translator. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is about the translations of these people, of who speaks English, who does not, and how they communicate or can't with each other. It's a very layered piece, often very funny. It's also slow in kind of the first half, but you get into it, and you build with it, and then, of course, something bad happens. There's this beautiful, wonderful romance that owes its beautiful scene that they have to John Millington Synge and Playboy of the Western World. And I think it's not a direct quotation, but if you know both plays, you can see it there. And so after that, you figure, okay, it's going to be romantic, but something bad's going to happen. And, of course, something pretty terrible does in the second act. And then it becomes, what will happen to this village? What will happen to these people? And Friel makes it clear what will, but I think he makes a bad choice for the final scene, which is this theatrical, kind of poetic denouement that almost feels like the penultimate scene, except he ends it there. There should be something else after it. And so the audience, which I think would have been really like applauding and into it otherwise, kind of came to the end of the play, and we were kind of like... Applauding, but not really excited
about
it.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that was good, and well, I'm glad I paid attention, but somehow I wish I were more touched or moved by it, because in portions of the play, you are. and you really think, oh, you know, because I'll take preload over stopper at any time. Because I don't feel that when I see a stopper.
You know
play.
How I know that?
How?
Because field plays have a denouement.
Like, well, it does have a stopper plays will have a denouement too, but at least along the way of the field play, I actually gave a crap about the character.
But when you talk about anybody but Friel, you don't give them a denouement.
Fair enough. Anyway, so do I recommend translations? I do, but it is fairly qualified, and I thought it would be a rave. So I'm a little disappointed on that level. I really expected that the play would just carry me and be like, oh, it's another Lunasa, it's another... You know.
And is that playing at the Biltmore Theater?
It is on West 47th Street. I love
it. Is it brought to us by the Manhattan Theater Club?
It certainly is.
Where you can get a subscription series and save tons of money on Broadway shows.
Yeah, because they have an off-Broadway house on City Center,
mm-hmm.
and they bought the Biltmore. So they do these season things where you see some at the off-Broadway and some at the Broadway.
And what a bargain that is what I was going to say.
Yeah. Have just a couple of minutes, but I did want to also mention some one acts that I saw at Urban Stages called Estimated Time of Arrival. And they were all not really about travel. They were about young people or middle-aged people, couples, dating, the whole, pretty much what half the one acts ever written are about.
Two people.
Nothing particularly special about it. There were some cute moments, some good writing. Most of them...
And where is Urban Stages?
I'm finished. It's one of the most convenient theaters ever. It's 259 West 30th Street. It's
convenient
one block
you.
From Penn Station. Yeah. And then also for everybody, yeah, I mean, it's not a
for
bad
Long
location.
Island, for all our listeners.
Yeah, well, anyone can go also Penn Station and grab a subway anywhere else. So,
except for those of us who are listening on DFSX Radio.
You mean out of New York? Yeah. Then if you're living in Philadelphia or Florida, not quite so
no,
easy.
No, Philadelphia, they can go right into Penn Station.
You're right. See, there you go. But anyway, let me just mention a couple of things. A couple of the plays in this series. It was
Please
called
do.
Estimated Time of Arrival. As I said, most of them felt like either Act One of a longer play or just sort of unfinished. And I know one-act plays are tough. Because if you make them funny, they feel like sketches rather than plays. And if they're not funny, you start to develop things, and it's too short for it to really go anywhere. So that's kind of what happened with most of these plays. But there's a one called Hang Up by Anthony Minghella, the guy who wrote The English Patient. And that kind of goes on and on a bit, but there's a twist in it.
You
that
hang
kinda
up.
Made me snap my neck a little bit and go, oh, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And it worked. So that was neat. And then the last one by a writer named Amy Fox called The Man Who Didn't Own a Hat Shop. It was very cute. I mean, again, it was too
Did he own a
short,
hat shop?
Too little. No, that was the point. There were two people who were making up fanciful stories when they met in an airport. So they,
oh, cute.
And that's how they met.
So he was not a milliner.
No, milliner, very good. No, was haberdasher, right?
I think milliner is ladies' hats and haberdasher is men's hats.
Aha, that's right, because Harry Truman was a haberdasher. And who was and Dolly Levy was a milliner.
Yes.
And the political and the fictional. Dave's gone by. Hey, we've got only a couple of minutes left, so.
But you know what the best thing to see is?
What's that?
Tomorrow at 11 a.m. there's a wonderful little show called The Price is Right on Channel 2.
Yeah.
It is very dramatic tomorrow.
Good.
Trust me, there'll be a big Batman running down the aisle. Somebody catch him before he makes a bad bid.
Yeah, so actually, we will talk just a little bit more about Price is Right, but let's get our final commercials out of the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we'll be back with the end, but only for this week, because we'll be back next week, of Dave's
The temporary
Gone By.
End of Dave's Gone By.
Right after these. We've just been inside Broadway. Thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Terrific indeed, and it has been, I think, a terrific fun show, as it usually is, when Jeff Goodman is my co-host. But
oh,
I also want to thank
Dave.
Some other people. I want to thank, of course, my wife, Joyce, for all her love and support, as I do every single week. And I want to thank Swami Baldy G, a.k.a. Wajid. Go find out more about him. There's a serious side to the guy who does this, and then the silly side that is Swami Baldy G. But it's all at wajidlive.com. And I want to thank also our sponsors of this fine, fine program. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, 1315 Broadway to be exact, and 10% off for Dave's Got My Listeners. There's Jeff's company, which is
Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
And people, what's that phone number again?
That would be 516-797-3229.
And MortgagesRock.com, where people find out how to help your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers get mortgages, get bank loans.
Make money off their loans.
That's it. And Performing Arts Insider.
The Bible of Broadway.
Yes.
But since 1944, I've been told.
It really is, yeah. And also, you know, I do want to thank once again, we had our lovely New Year's spectacular, craptacular.
And it's actually repeating on me. That's why we're thinking about
it. Is it real? Oh, really? It's repeating on you. Why is it repeating on you, Jeff?
The food.
Which was delicious. What a lovely way to give a nice nod to the people who provided the food.
Who is the... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the Taco Bell I had earlier.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. No, the food at the
Galaxy Caterers?
Was absolutely delicious. So thank you guys so much
and
for that.
And he's on Route 109 in Farmingdale. Lindenhurst.
Lindenhurst.
And you can reach him at 631-957-9595.
One more time.
You can call Larry on Route 109 in Lindenhurst at the Galaxy Caterers at 631. I always say 516.
Yeah.
631-957-9595. And please don't forget to see me, Jeff Goodman, on The Price is Right. We'll be coming up cold on down tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. So don't miss it. 11 o'clock, Channel 2.
This is New York time, and we're talking about Monday, January 29th is when this is going to end, which it is right now. It's 12:03.
Because you will hear the five nicest words I've ever heard on television.
Come.
Jeffrey Goodman, come on down.
Hey, I want to do a couple of shout-outs. First of all, also want to tell everyone, if you're driving, please slow down. There's some snow out there, probably a little icy conditions, so please be careful if you've got us on the radio. I mean, or if you're going out now. If you're out there now, I hope you're already driving, you know, cautiously. Shout out to the folks at His Mighty Robot. They finally released their new CD, The Conflict, in early December.
Exactly.
Might get them back on the program. Peter Tork, former Monkey and also a guest on this show, he has a new CD with his band Shoe Suede Blues. It's called Cambria Hotel, and it was released on my birthday, back on January 23rd. So, PeterTork.com.
And how was your birthday, Dave?
It was very nice. We went out to eat. Nothing special, but it was fun. Thank you very much. That was last. It's so long
ago. It's gone by.
Exactly.
That's Dave's birthday gone by.
And some reminders. You can catch a vintage Dave's Gone By episode every Thursday night and every Saturday night at 11, thanks to Live365.com. Find out more at davesgoneby.org. It's streaming on your computer. It's free Thursday nights and Saturday nights at 11. You can also always hear our 100th episode on theaterpod.com.
It's continuously running.
Yeah, or you can hit it at any time. So you just go there, you
as
can listen to the podcast.
As opposed to Dave hit me on that.
Yeah, exactly. It was, yeah.
I was itch-slapped.
Ooh. Anywho, the big time. Let's tell people about the big time, even though it's a couple of weeks before they can hear it.
Because we're being preempted by some sort of reggae fest.
A reggae fest. Reggae fest.
Reggae.
Bob Marley, Toots and the Maytals, all that stuff. I like reggae music, but I don't think it needs a freaking marathon. But yes, they're doing it at our other station.
And certainly, it's not better than we are.
No, certainly not. So we're not going to be on this
Friday.
We're
so much better than Reggae Fest.
But we're better than any fest.
We are a festival all in ourselves.
All in ourselves. We're Woodstink. But anyway, the big time would normally air this coming Friday morning from 3 until 6:30 a.m. However, it's preempted. We will be back, or I will be back on February 16th on WUSB.
Because next week is going to be a special episode of Dave's Gone By. It's going to be Jeff's Going Bye-Bye.
Well, you will be with us here on this show.
Yes, and the next Dave's Gone By is going to be Jeff's Going Bye-Bye.
Okay, yeah, we're not spending the whole show on that.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
The entire episode is dedicated to me.
Okay.
Jeff Goodman, former contestant on The Price is Right.
Future contestant on Concentration.
That's right. 6:23.
And we have some other great guests coming up. We've got, let's see, Jay Jacobs is going to be talking about his book about Tom Waits. We've got former police chief, Chief Detective and Chief of Police, Lou Talano will be a guest on in the Dave Herd.
And me, Jeff Goodman. We'll talk about my Price is Right episode.
Well, that's next week.
Over and over and over.
These are later episodes. I just turned off Jeff's microphone just for a moment. We've got Stanley Newman, who is the crossword puzzle editor for Newsday.
Turn my microphone back up. Oh, okay.
He's going to be on just around the time when they have that big crossword puzzle contest in, I think, Connecticut or somewhere.
Darn, I'm going to miss that, huh?
I think you'll be back for that one.
Oh.
It's in March.
Oh.
And also, this is going to be amazing. The rabbi will be back with a love and sex therapist.
Like
that's coming
for
Valentine's Day. So do not
miss that. Oh, I'm
going to
miss that. Well, I'm going to have to call you from Thailand just for that.
Just to listen in. Anyway, we will be back.
I can listen to that on DFXX Radio in Thailand.
No, you can listen to that on WGBB in Thailand.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
WGBB, GBB broadcast in Thailand?
If you don't understand, how am I supposed to explain this to everybody else? That WGBB streams live, so you can hear our show every Sunday night. You hear the pre-show at 10:30, Dave's Gone By at 11, live streaming on AM 1240, WGBB.com. We are, by the way, WGBB Freeport. Yeah.
Except in Thailand, because we'll be streaming at 12:30 in the afternoon on Monday.
There you go. So that's when you could listen.
Or 11:30.
Yeah, DFSX plays older shows, vintage episodes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that's why you wouldn't hear
the next one. Okay.
We gotta go.
We got some gospel to do.
That's right.
We're gonna pray that everyone watches CBS. Channel 2 at 11 a.m. watching The Price is Right with Jeff.
You know, I was going to squeeze that in.
Oh, okay. Squeeze it in again because we cannot promo The Price is Right too many times.
Yeah, we can. We'll be back next Sunday, February 4th, 2007, with the 206th episode of Dave's Gone By. So until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman, who's going to be on The Price is Right.
Saying good night. Tomorrow morning, watch The Price is Right. And, as the Swami might say, may you be one with everything and two with just sausage and pepperoni.
And gone by. The Price is Right.